You're listening to RadioVolta.org, a project of the Philadelphia Independent Media Center. If you have AOL Instant Messenger, you can instant message us to Volta Radio.
This song don't need violence for backup.
Testicle 1-2, testes 1-2, the Reverend is in. We will be starting in a couple minutes. Tapers and relay broadcasters, anyone else who gives a fuck. The Reverend is in, starting when it starts. We're okay in here.
Hey, welcome back. I want to apologize to some of you guys. We went offline for a little while because we have a really bad storm out here in Philadelphia. So I was just told and alerted that we were offline for about maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And anybody who lost us and is still around, like, thank you for still tuning in to the O-List. We're going to try to make this quickly and painless as possible. right now, coming up next, we have Sunny Day Real Estate with the song called Theo B off the Pink album. Testicle 1-2, testes 1-2, the Reverend is in, starting in about a minute and a half. Tapers and relay broadcasters and everybody who gives a fuck. Starting. Is everything working? Owl, is your microphone working?
Yeah, I think it is. How's that?
Oh yeah, those little penile looking things that move means there's sound streaming from here. So we're ready to begin.
We're ready.
Good evening, Mrs. Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight we have a very special show. Tonight is a celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago. A kind of a Woodstock vision of presenting the counterculture in the 60s to the world. At the same time, what they called the Convention of Death was occurring, the Democratic National Convention, as both parties seemed to represent the war machine and the system, you know, in corporate America. Gee, things have changed so much since then.
Oh, yeah. It's been a total 180.
Yes. And so they did the Festival of Life in contrast to the Convention of Death, and we're going to cover that. It turned into a police riot and the famous Chicago song by Graham Nash, The Whole World Is Watching track from the first Chicago album, and all kinds of famous legacies. The famous Chicago conspiracy trial, at first called the Chicago 8, then the Chicago 7, and then in the recent movie, the Chicago 10, because they counted the lawyers, and a very important piece of history, and of course in the corporate media history, especially of the 60s, gets all kinds of seriously fucked up, especially when the 60s is covered by the History Channel. And even worse sources of horseshit like Fox, Time, Life, and on the left and in the countercultures, even like In These Times, you know, and worse publications when it comes to dealing with the 60s or the countercultures. So we're going to set their asses straight, and we're going to celebrate the Festival of Life, have a killer playlist, and we're also going to be entertaining the troops, those brave souls who are out in the streets and in action at both political conventions this year, the balls and eggs of those people against, like, the helmeted mega forces of thuggery out in the streets. And we have a great and special guest with us, the Owl of Radio Volta, the Owl, a.k.a. Hedwig. And I don't know if I would recommend calling yourself Hedwig.
Well, yeah, based on that movie, I guess we leave that for the alter ego, I guess.
Okay, because the other, if you go by the movie, the other part of the movie title is And the Angry Inch. And, you know, I would be inclined, even though it would be a lie, I would be inclined to say, you know, I'm Hedwig and the angry John Holmes, you know, or John Holmes and the angry 10 inches, or, you know, or whatever. But
the angry foot.
But that's just me, yeah. Yeah, the angry foot. And since I'm clergy, and since we have had Jesus on the show plenty of times, you know, we appreciate feet on The Reverend Is In, just like in ancient times. So, we have the Owl, a.k.a. Hedwig, of Radio Volta with us. We're going to play a first set and then get into it. So, it's not all going to be 60s tracks, because we're also entertaining the activist troops of today. And we're going to start off with Patti Smith Group doing Till Victory.
Hey, I went to both conventions, and they were sort of like the Dinosaur Follies. It was so dull that Ted Koppel didn't even stay. And the most exciting thing, by their standards, that happened was when Dole named Jack Kemp as his vice presidential running mate. I mean, and they got so excited, you would have thought they discovered life on Mars. And I remember that rock that they said had some DNA markings in it, so there might really be life on Mars. But on the other hand, it could just be dried mud cracks. So I didn't get excited, because I didn't want to get hurt again. I mean, I remember when I heard there were 40 billion new galaxies that were suddenly discovered. I guess peripheral vision or something. And I got involved in that. Then I found out that they miscalculated there were only 23 billion new galaxies. But see, they were counted by the same people who counted the Million Man March. And I remember there were some Jews who didn't like the idea of Louis Farrakhan becoming known as a leader because they thought he was anti-Semitic, because he had once said that Judaism is a gutter religion. But, of course, this was media distortion. What he actually said was that Judaism is a guttural religion. L'chaim, challah, Hanukkah. The media just distort one thing after another. The Democrats' convention was different for me because this was the first time the Democrats had returned to Chicago since the 1968 convention. And that's when I had been there as a protester against the Vietnam War. The war was bipartisan, but at that moment it was under a Democratic watch. And besides, the Republicans were having their convention in Miami and it was off-season. There was a real anti-communist hysteria at the time. I published a Fuck Communism poster. It was red, white, and blue, and it had stars and stripes on the word fuck, and it had hammers and sickles on the word communism. And the post office would say, you can't send that through the mails. And I would say, what, are you a commie sympathizer? In fact, it was very popular. There was one student at a Midwestern college who held up the poster for his graduation photo for the yearbook. And when some of the administration saw that, they said, we can't have the alumni seeing that. And so they airbrushed out the word fuck. So then, the sign just said, communism. So they figured, we can't have that. So they airbrushed out the word communism. And now, in the yearbook, he's holding up a blank poster. And the alumni said, oh, I think he was majoring in Dada. No idea. So, but anyway, the Yippies were going to go to Chicago. I've added two phrases to the language. One is softcore pornography. That was mine. That was... Oh, thank you. Oh, please. Oh, please. Softcore pornography is like when you see the use of sexy women selling automobiles. It's a deliberate attempt at titillation, but they can't go too far. So men watch it and they get a soft on. This is the way to tell. And the other phrase was the Yippies, which came out of Youth International Party. As a journalist, I knew that reporters had to have a who for their who, what, when, where, and why. And so that's what happened. In Chicago, the headline said, yipes, the Yippies are coming. Now, we went there before the convention started to try and get permission for people to sleep in the park. And there was one meeting we had with Mayor Daley's assistant. And he said to me, now, come on, what do you guys really want to do in Chicago? And I said, well, did you see Wild in the Streets? Which was a movie about teenagers putting LSD into the water supply and taking over the government. So the mayor's assistant says, oh, we've seen Wild in the Streets. We've seen Battle of Algiers. Which scene that remains in my mind from that movie was a woman going across the Algerian border, hiding a bomb in her chador, and then she goes as a terrorist act to plant it in an ice cream parlor, and the camera pans around and shows the faces of the children that are going to be whacked off the face of the earth. So this is what their perception was. So, I mean, what was going to happen in Chicago was a clash of our mythology against their mythology. But one of the little byproducts is that there's a Trivial Pursuit question, and the question is, who first suggested that LSD be put into the water supply during the Chicago Democratic Convention? And the answer is moi. I put that on my resume right away. So, I mean, that made the whole struggle worthwhile to be the answer to a Trivial Pursuit question. So the drug of that summer of 68 was hash oil, which was the essence of THC that would be fed to people in spoonfuls of honey. Now, I thought it was just for dry mouth, so I had two spoons full. And the effect of it was sort of like a hand was coming down from the sky and pushing me down. And I could get up again, but it would push me down. I could get up. It was sort of like forced celestial knee bends until I found myself holding onto the grass so that I wouldn't fall up. So the so-called yippie leaders were zonked out of their minds, and we decided to take a ride around town. So a bunch of us pile into a car. We see two guys in suits get into a car, and we think they're following us. We're not positive because one of the side effects of hash oil is paranoia. So I get a brilliant idea. I say, look, why don't we go the wrong way down that one-way street? And if they go the wrong way too, then they're following us. So everybody considers that and says, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. So we see a guy on a bench waiting for a bus, and I go up to him and I say, look, do us a favor, we're going to go around the block once. If that car that's behind us now is still there, you give us a signal. So the guy is very involved now. I say, yes, Vince Ramos, patria morte, he's really involved. So we go around the block. Sure enough, the other car is there. So he stands on the bench and goes like this. He gives a signal, and the cops now don't know whether to follow him or us. Because they don't know what he's done while we were going around the block, that he's signaling to us that it's finished. But they were assigned to follow us, so they do. But now that we know, we stop in a cafe that was very rude to us and wouldn't serve us the day before. And we go right up to the guy, and we shake hands with him. We say, look, everything's cool. No hard feelings about yesterday. And the guy looks confused, and we walk out. But he gets put on the conspiracy list. And then we stopped in an art supply store where they were really very rude to us. And we write on a little note, have a good day, all is forgiven. And the guy looks at it, reads it, and we go out and we crumple the note and put it down a sewer. So he gets put on the conspiracy list. So then we get bored with that and we stop our car. The cops stop their car several yards back because they've seen old Kojak reruns and they know just what to do. And so we walk right up to the car. And we're surrounding the car, and they're trying to act nonchalant, but they finally can't ignore us, so they roll down the window. And we say, are you guys following us? And they say, yes. Are you federal or local? We're the Chicago Police Department, plainclothes division, and you're under surveillance 24 hours a day. You know, there's a kind of perverse pride in that, you know? Wow, three shifts of cops just for us. But the cop says, no, we're short of manpower, so we're on two 12-hour shifts. But, you know, it's an honor just to be nominated. So we decide to introduce ourselves to the cops. This is Abby, Anita, Jerry, Nancy, Paul. And the cops have never been introduced to people they've been tailing before. So they say, oh, well, I'm Herbie, this is Mac, and we shake hands all around. So you don't know where to end. So you say, would you guys like yippie buttons? And they say, well, no, we can't wear them. We're on duty now. And we say, well, it would be part of your duty because now we've met. If we lose you in the crowd, we'll know how to spot you. And the guy says, oh, that made sense. So they take the yippie buttons, put them on their lapels. But, I mean, this was just cops. It wasn't the Marines. So they just put it on their cloth. They didn't bang the pins into their chest. So this kind of communication is a two-way street. So now the cops say to us, hey, you know, aren't you guys hungry? We've been following you for an hour and a half. Aren't you going to have lunch? But see, another of the side effects of hash oil is that it rolls your tongue back like the top of a sardine can that you used to have with that key that does that. And so we figure, okay, maybe food will help us salivate. So we say, all right, look, we just got to Chicago. What's a good restaurant? And one cop says, well, the Pickle Barrel on North Wells Street in Old Town has pretty good food. And the other cop says, yes, and the prices are quite reasonable. It was like being in a TV commercial of the future where every authority figure is a cop. You want aspirins? Just ask Officer Smithers there. He'll tell you which kind won't hurt your stomach. So we say, okay, what's the best way to get to the Pickle Barrel? We don't know where Old Town is. We just got to Chicago. We don't know the highways and the byways. And the cop says, well, follow us. That's one of those moments where you just want to preserve in amber. So we look at each other, we get in the car, and it's sort of like, are we in a movie that's being on rewind? And is he going to stop and pick a piece of paper out of a sewer and give it to this guy and then stop at another place? And is the guy going to get on a park bench and give a signal? But no, they take us straight to the restaurant, and we go in and sit at separate tables. This is one of Martha Stewart's principles, that whenever you go to lunch with the cops who are following you, always sit at separate tables. It's just modern etiquette. It was officially labeled as a police riot, what happened in 1968 in Chicago. And there was a trial. There were originally about 20 conspirators who had been accused of crossing state lines to foment riot. But 8 cops had been indicted, so they reduced the 20 protesters to 8. So I felt like a disc jockey who had never been offered payola.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Motherfucking E. Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole off bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, punk police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath, and when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident.
Fuck the police, and Ren said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. It's with whoever I'm stepping. And a motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Ren was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me. But they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh. Because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club so you stand with a fake ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up, and we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Think you think I'ma kick your ass, but drop your gat and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime, but I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me, any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope, taking out a cop or two that can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad, with potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around, put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that, but it all depends on the size of the gat. Taking out a police would make my day, but a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
Fuck the police.
Get your motherfucking ass on the floor!
tell the jury how you feel about this bullshit.
I'm tired of the motherfucking jacking, sweating my gang while I'm chilling in the shack and shining the light in my face, and for what? Maybe it's because I kick so much butt, I kick ass. Or maybe because I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence, cause my identity by itself causes violence or ease with the criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun in the badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here, the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror, and it's on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling off the 8, he'll be the one that I take out and then get away. While I'm driving off laughing, this is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Jurious finds you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.
Hey, that's a lie! That's a goddamn lie!
Get him out of here!
I want justice!
Get him the fuck out
I
my
want
face!
Justice.
Out right now!
Fuck you, you black motherfucker!
Fuck the police! Fuck the police! Fuck the police!
This is Halliburton Ernie, and we're going to do another track, but first we're going to say goodbye to the owl, aka Hedwig. We won't ask him about the inches, but his honey is waiting for him, and he has been a sensational person and technical wizard. Well, I guess everybody is compared to the Reverend.
I appreciate it, Reverend, and as far as the Angry Inch goes, I just want to tell you that I'm the only guy who arrives in a room 10 minutes after a part of them, so on that happy note.
Ah, so you're an angry foot. Well, the Lord...
What a bad day.
Well, the Lord was a foot worshiper, which gives it new meaning.
All right, man, you keep the faith.
All right.
Thanks for having me. We'll see everybody Monday night.
Take care, man. When is your show on?
Monday from 7 to 9.
On RadioVolta.org, East Coast Time, USA. The Owl, alias Hedwig. Halliburton Ernie loves him. And he loved the late Abby Hoffman. And even though this isn't during the 60s, this was one of his later speeches in the late 80s, before he died in April 1989, from a spoken word compilation CD entitled Soundbites from the Counterculture. This is Abby Hoffman in the later years doing Just Say No. This is Halliburton Ernie saying, we remember and love you, Abby.
I started to examine the rising tide of student activism because I knew things were changing. Already in the 2.5 years preceding that, 8,000 students had been arrested on campuses protesting apartheid in South Africa. You have to know that happened because the media isn't going to tell you. Shantytowns have been constructed on over 100 universities, and 165 have pulled out $6 billion, joining the divestment movement. So I said, I'll bet these activist students, a minority to be sure, are going to get involved in Central America, but there's no draft. So how are they going to do it? They're going to do it when the CIA comes on campus to recruit, because that is the war of Central America in the flesh. And now they're marching, 750 students at Louisiana State University. Did you believe it? Blocking the CIA, 100 in Bowdoin College. University of Mass, using necessity defense, going on trial. The anti-apartheid movement is still there. University of Texas, 16 students didn't do so good last week. Necessity defense got 3 to 6 months in prison. They call for advice. Dear Abby, what should we do? I give them. Proud to be called. I mean, there weren't many people that we could use in the 60s. We couldn't go to, you know, the witch hunts of the 50s, World War II. We would have had to go back to the trade union movement in the 30s. It was lost to us. We had the feeling that it was all new. And though you get the names mixed up and you think it was all sex, rocks, and rock and roll, you know that something political happened back then. There is the legacy that you can go out and fight City Hall and you can win. There's about 3,000 students out there right now in America that see themselves as organizers first and students second. They see that is their education. That is part of what they want to do in life. They want to stop apartheid in South Africa. They want to stop the war in Central America. They want to make this country so that it's a country that attends to the problems of the least fortunate, not the most fortunate in the country. And I look at my kid, 16 years old. At 13, he brought down a curfew ban, Seattle. Got rock and roll into the park at 14. Now, he works on draft resistance. Came, chained himself to a fence, just like Papa. When I die, he'll inherit the business. I said to him, why are you doing all this? He says, I don't know. We ain't gonna win. Polar ice cap's gonna melt, the tropical forest is gonna go away, take away our oxygen, AIDS is gonna take out half the population, nuclear bombs are gonna go off within 7.5 years, I can prove it to you on my computer. So, wow, where'd you learn how to talk like that? He says, that's just the way it is, that's reality, you're quaint, Daddy, you're a romantic dreamer, something from the past. But he is expressing a certain kind of nihilism that American youth reflect in their music, in their language, the way they dress, in their thoughts, and in their nightmares, certainly. Unattached to the planet, unattached to the past, the present, and especially the future. That's why I say there's a possibility if you don't go out and make the social changes that were begun in the 60s and weren't finished in the 60s, your nightmares might come true and you will be the last generation that you see in your dreams at night. Change doesn't come about through conformists. People take risks like those four students in 1970 that lost their lives right here on this campus. Because they didn't believe that the National Guard had a right to come on and shoot its students. They didn't believe that the U.S. government had a right to lie to its people and to send young people 10,000 miles off to battles. Nothing's changed. Same decisions are there. I urge you to think about this. We need young people in the front because young people have creativity, personal computers, energy. They understand MTV. You take somebody my age. I'm 50. I'll be 51 next year. I mean, God, is he old? Older than my father, I heard people say. They tell you you get wise when you get old. You know what you get? You get hemorrhoids. You don't get these ideas and thoughts when you're middle-aged. It's when you're young that you get your ideas that you can change things. You're plugged into the cultural communications. You have that one ingredient that is necessary for social change that you can't have at middle age or older. Young people are impatient. They want it now. You need that certain element. So I urge you to think about this. We didn't invent the cry of peace and freedom back then. We didn't write its final chapter. Seize this moment. Go out and make tomorrow better than today. I urge you to just say no. Just say no to dorks like Bork who want to bring us back to the 19th century. Just say no to student apathy. Just say no to apartheid in South Africa. Just say no to war in Central America. Say no to contra-aid. Just say no! Just say no to lying presidents like Ronald Reagan! Right on. All right. You just say no when they ask you to piss in the vial. And don't drop your zipper for the gipper. Right on. Test the government, not the people. That's what democracy is about.
Thank you.
when the...
Welcome. The Reverend is in.
This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. It's on live Sunday nights at RadioVolta.org and archived at Radio4All.net. And updates, details, links, goodies, and playlists always at ReverendBookburn.com. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. To write to the Reverend for feedback to already done shows, input to forthcoming themed shows, or to send cartoons or music videos, requests for exorcisms or reverse exorcisms, or any reason except sending spam, unless it's the hilarious Jesus spam that continues to roll in to this day, write to RevBookburn@sjcdc.org. Happy 420, everybody. And please remember that we are trying to be responsible for at least 10,000 more sales of AKA Tommy Chung, because that was the number of DVDs seized, in other words, stolen by the Gestapo people in the Drug Enforcement Agency. Hello to Jello Biafra and all of the folks at AlternativeTentacles.com. Please remember that the boycott of the corporate scab version of the dead Kennedys remains. And hello to Dr. Susan Block, legendary sexologist and sex-positive alternative to Dr. Laura. And you can check out her blogs at drsusanblock.com/blog. A big thank you to Pastor Rex Cat, Murgatroyd Productions, Mr. Scott, Philadelphia Independent Media Center, Lava Zone, Radio 4 All, Baby Jesus Butt Plug, Hippie John, Mr. Z, and of course our in-house, whatever they do, Pastor Whoremaster, and John the Craptus. This is a pioneering, diverse presentation to push independent media to its utmost possibilities. Like George W. Numbnuts, war criminal, Enron Ho, corporate stooge, Taliban wannabe, fetal worshipping, piss poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, Bush, God speaks through me.
It's the name of the all of
That was a reminder from the lower power to not forget to put on a show for the spies. It's time for open curtain exhibitionism and kink. The Lord commandeth ye. Okay, thank you, Mr. Scott, for recording the often used introduction stuff in one recording, plus the sound effects that he added. However, we did not announce the song, so you heard the Ramones doing The Shape of Things to Come. Rage Against the Machine did Street Fighting Man. Country Joe and the Fish did Superbird, Tricky Dick. Abby Hoffman did Just Say No from the Spoken Word compilation, Sound Bites from the Counterculture. NWA did Fuck the Police. Paul Krasner did The Yippies from his Spoken Word CD and comedy CD, Brain Damage Control. And started off with Patti Smith Group doing Till Victory. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. Tonight the theme is 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago. And we're also, as we've said, seeking to entertain the brave activist troops at the two political conventions of this year, the conventions of the two corporate parties who were in the streets this year. That means the people who have been in Denver this past week and the people who will be in Minnesota this coming week. Although news of that might be drowned out by the hurricane. Poor John McCain. He gets a Phyllis Schlafly clone to be his vice presidential candidate, and he thinks he's a headline maker, and the convention is coming, and the hurricane takes all of the attention away. But in fairness to him, it was a brilliant move, because there are going to be some people who will fall for it, like buffoons like the National Organization for Women Now, who, if you remember, actually said positive things about Margaret Thatcher and Imelda Marcos being leaders. And I guess they would have loved Eva Braun if she was the head of the Third Reich in Germany, instead of that numbnuts that she was sleeping with. And and I guess their whole trip about the whole thing with Hillary, like, you're a traitor if you don't support her, shows that their buffoonish logic is still in place. So it was a brilliant move, but the woman is a daughter figure, B, probably going to be the cause of anxiety for Cindy McCain, who married her father figure, and C, it's not going to get his support base of Taliban clones and Limbaugh types overly excited. Yes, she toes the party line. Yes, she's anti-choice. Yes, she's as theocratic as the Taliban. And yes, she's pretty much fucked up from A to Z. But it's not going to generate support in his support base. And from the other side, with the exception of pockets of now buffoons and similar types, it's not going to generate very much new support either. But anyway, enough about that shit. Our next show is next Sunday night, where he will be the theme. That's right, on September 7th, the theme of this show is the McCain Penis Pity Party, because there are still many unanswered questions, like, how did he cheat if he is as functionless as Rush Limbaugh and Bob Dole and many other seriously conservative people who want to make sexual freedom policies and make laws about contraception, birth control, sexual freedom for consenting adults, and, of course, what one can and cannot have or do as entertainment next week. But he's a hypocrite, like most of these people, and did cheat. And we want to know the details, and we're going to explore all that and more. Plus, of course, with his new toy, play toy, in the picture next week, a show we're going to have a lot of fun with, the McCain Penis Pity Party. And there's as much music as we're playing and going to play tonight, and we'll probably go over time. So if you're recording, it's going to be probably well over time. But even then, there was a playlist way larger than what was brought here. And so some of the music of tonight is going to spill over into next week, as well as some brand new stuff we got our hands on. So in talking about Chicago, yes, there's a lot of references that are still pretty prominent. There's the recent Chicago 10 film. There's the Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young song called Chicago that was on the subject. The end of the first Chicago album, Chicago Transit Authority, when they actually played footage of them chanting, "The whole world is watching," the origin of that expression. The reissuing of some of the best of the 60s books, Abbie Hoffman's books like Woodstock Nation, Revolution for the Hell of It, and of course the incredible introduction to Steal This Book, Paul Krasner's books, the late Stu Albert's writings. There's a lot that people can get outside of the Time, Life, or History Channel, or COINTELPRO kind of shit, or even lefty papers like In These Times, that you can get that's credible information. And it's a fascinating story. The Judge Hoffman story is worthy of a whole show. The conspiracy film of the 80s, A Conspiracy, The Trial of the Chicago 8, is worthwhile. The testimonies during the Chicago trial by Arlo Guthrie, Phil Oakes, Timothy Leary, Country Joe, so many others, Allen Ginsberg, are worthy of an entire show. But the intention, as came out in their trial, was to do more of a counterculture and activist presentation of what did become Woodstock, not just in which bands were there, but the spirit of the counterculture, the cooperation, the humanity, the eccentricities, the mind expansion, the new value systems, the new culture and the new music that was springing up. The police and the mayor, of course, had other ideas, being that they were more Gestapo modeled. It turned into a full-scale police riot, and even the official Walker report labeled it a police riot. And then they indicted the organizers and blamed them for the riot that the police and the mayor were responsible for, hence the famous Chicago trial. And that's when Bobby Seale, co-founder of the Black Panther Party, was bound and gagged and chained to the chair during the trial, and then removed from the trial, making it the Chicago 7 trial instead of the Chicago 8. That was when Graham Nash's Chicago song came into being. The books, especially by Abbie Hoffman and Paul Krasner, are worthwhile for a good history of it. The entire Walker Report is available as a book. Any book that has trial testimony, especially from the musicians and the counterculture figures and movement leaders of the time, are worthwhile. And well, this can wait until later. When Abbie Hoffman passed away in 1989, there was a lot of good history in those times, even though they didn't get the sensation of the Bill Graham funeral and similar stuff like that. There was a lot of history, and there was a kind of a renewal of energy, and a lot of reunions, and a lot of kind of recharged batteries, and people who kind of brought a lot of history back and started creating new history, including the underreported history of 80s activism that was referred to in the spoken word track replayed by Abbie Hoffman. Getting talked out already. There's still so much more to play, but we want to say thank you to the ancient veterans of Chicago in 1968, and thank you present day, right now, people who are protesting the two political conventions of the two corporate parties and acknowledging their bravery and dedication, all the shit that they're up against. And let's see, there's a lot more to talk about tonight. Couple of quick plugs before we get back to the music and a birthday. Happy birthday to Mr. Z. Mr. Z, who is a federal prisoner on marijuana charges. The biggest assholes and war criminals and corporate criminals of all time are still running amok in our nation and continuing to do what they've been doing. And one of the coolest people on the planet is in federal prison custody for marijuana. Go figure. Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday, Mr. Z, dear friend. And let's see. One of the publishers of High Times magazine, Stephen Hagar, has published a new book, and that's linked at reverendbookburn.com, called Octopus Conspiracy. And also on the posting of today at reverendbookburn.com, the links for Marta's sex tape. And we've been becoming kind of internet friends, and that sounds very worthwhile. The Reverend hasn't seen it yet, but we've corresponded, and it sounds very interesting. And if I know book burners, I know that you'll probably like it. So that's worth checking out and recommended. Healing Wishes for Annie Lennox, formerly of the Eurythmics, who is undergoing major back surgery. And of course, fuck you to MTV for wanting to remake the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Okay, more plugs and stuff. There was a whole gag about MBNA poster boy Biden, but I think we'll either postpone or shit can that. Let's get back to the music. This is also from that time period known as the 60s. The band is entitled Quicksilver Messenger Service, and this track is What About Me?
What? You keep adding to my numbers, and you brothers and sisters, I want to see a sea of hands out there. Let me see a sea of hands. I want everybody to kick up some noise. I want to hear some revolution out there, brothers. I want to hear a little revolution. Brothers and sisters, the time has come for each and every one of you to decide whether you are going to be the problem or whether you are going to be the solution.
That's right.
You must choose, brothers. You must choose. It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds of decision. 5 seconds to realize your purpose here on the planet. It takes 5 seconds to realize that it's time to move. It's time to get down with it. Brothers, it's time to testify, and I want to know, are you ready to testify? Are you ready? I give you a testimonial. The FC Five.
Family roll, family roll.
I think I'm the happiest person that ever lived. And I'd love to be proved wrong so you can show me what your trick is. Each person dies in their very individual, singular way. I'm not going to do it by myself. I always say, with a friend, with friends. That's the key. Get your friends involved. Climax is the great going away party. Die without you. So what, that's good.
you go home. And the plastic's all melted, and so is the chrome. Who are the brain police? And the chrome is too
saber and a gun. Tell me, is it it worth it all? For I clear the final mission in the Japanese sky, set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't a marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming when they close the missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't a marching anymore.
This is Dr. Greed, and when I'm not busy putting trash all around my clinic and making unsafe standards and making my place look like Hurricane Katrina was there and sticking my hairy face, my hairy chest in patients' faces, it's been a long weekend, and laughing and denying women on Medicaid, I like to listen to The Clash.
I thought I'd talk to the dictator of the world.
today, you heard MDC doing John Wayne Was a Nazi from their Millions of Dead Cops release. The Clash did I'm So Bored with the USA. Phil Oakes did the electric version of I Ain't Marching Anymore. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention did Who Are the Brain Police from the Freak Out album. Timothy Leary did Why Not, Why Not, Why Not from the Beyond Life with Timothy Leary CD. MC5 did their live versions of Ramblin' Rose and Kick Out the Jams, and started off with Quicksilver Messenger Service doing What About Me. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is the 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago. And we're going way over time because we have a soundtrack and a half. We might cut some of it, and a lot of it was cut before we even got here. So some of the soundtrack and playlist will go on next week's show, next week, September 7th, when we also have some brand new music as well for the McCain Penis Pity Party. And we'll also be continuing not only the playlist, but our entertainment for the activist troops outside the two conventions of the corporate political parties. Okay. As usual, when there's a show this big, I overplan big time. But I wanted to cover the things that were not said yet. Let's see, in the Where Are They Now column, because it seems like they like turncoats. And people who say, well, I was like this in the 60s, or I was like this when I was young, but now I'm not anymore. And so just wanted to say that a lot of people who were very active, including in the days of Chicago in 68, are people who kept their consciousness, who kept their hearts, who kept their ideals for the most part. One of which is Paul Kantner, the co-founder of Jefferson Airplane and still in Jefferson Starship. Paul Krasner, Bobby Seale, who uses his energies differently. A professor here in Philadelphia at Temple, and runs community programs, and there's a lot of bozo types to try to revive his old organization name. And yes, they have problems with anti-Semitism and homophobia and who knows what else, but Bobby Seale has kept to his true principles, just manifests it in a different direction. Let's see, in addition to the film ideas that we're getting increasingly serious about, there's going to be a survival blog. It's going to be on the Reverend Bookburn MySpace page, but I think it'll be published elsewhere and probably on the regular ReverendBookburn.com site, because it's along the lines of Abby Hoffman's Fuck the System book or Steal This book, where it's updated information on kind of outlaw news that people need to know, because I believe that that is an essential potential function of independent media, that people should always know how to help somebody if the draft comes back, which McCain wants to bring back, and what to do with somebody if they get a draft notice, what to do for a woman if there is an unexpected and unwanted pregnancy, no matter what the birth control laws are, no matter what the emergency contraception laws are, no matter what the abortion laws are, and how to help them get what they need. And there should always be information updated if somebody has to take a urine test or is going to get drug tested, especially considering that pot stays in the fatty cells and makes a person positive for at least 30 days, unlike the real drugs, the actual dangerous drugs. So that kind of information and other essential survival information is coming on a blog, so it'll kind of be an updated version of the kinds of stuff Abby was doing when he wrote Woodstock Nation and Steal This Book. All right. As said earlier, next week is the McCain Penis Pity Party on September 7th. Other shows that are coming up are Taliban Pregnancy Counseling, Bush's Unemployment Application or Disabilities Claim, and of course for November, during voting season, we will have our traditional show, Erection Day. And of course, another holiday tradition when we do Happy Spanksgiving, probably with live guests this year. It's always better with another person. And in December, of course, we'll keep up more tradition with the Reverend's annual holiday Tree and Balls special. And in January, we will not only be celebrating another anniversary, the 8th anniversary, but we will start not just one show, but a theme of shows of a trial that should happen, entitled The Trial of George W. Bush. All of that is to come. You can see updates, all of the playlists, and pretty much everything at reverendbookburn.com. The Reverend's YouTube channel is youtube.com/revbookburn. And on MySpace, it's myspace.com/reverendbookburn. Email is revbookburn@sjcdc.org. And we're definitely going to go over time. This show, like all shows, is expected to be in the permanent archives, also for free, at Radio 4 All, the numeral 4, radio4all.net, probably in around a week, probably by the time the next show happens. And that's the essentials that we didn't cover in the beginning when the owl, a.k.a. Hedwig, was here before he had to run to a honey who was waiting for him. Okay. So if you haven't tuned in, or even if you have, and it was information overload, bottom lines are the recent film, The Chicago 10, the 80s film, if you can find it, Conspiracy, The Trial of the Chicago 8, most of Abby Hoffman's books, especially Woodstock Nation, the introduction to Steal This Book, and pretty much everything by Paul Krasner, and early writings by Stu Albert and Judy Gumbo, including their compilation book, The 60s Papers. And so much more. I'm not going to make fun of Judge Julius Hoffman, the judge in the trial of the Chicago defendants. And we will play a special song tribute for him by the end of the night. If we do have to cut some songs, then we will extend them along with the already cut parts of the playlist on next week's McCain's Penis Pity Party show, September 7th, along with some brand new stuff, and we love turning you on to brand new stuff. There was a time period in the early 70s when it seemed like the movement had gotten even heavier. Timothy Leary had escaped prison, assisted by Rosemary Leary and the Weather Underground, and the Panthers, who were exiled in Algeria. And John Lennon was getting increasingly radicalized, flew to New York City, befriended Abby Hoffman and a lot of the people in the political scene, played with a band of yippies called Elephant's Memory, and released the unbelievable, incredible Sometime in New York City release, a double album at the time, that included a live jam on the second album with Frank Zappa. And it was at the height of Lennon's political consciousness and social awareness. And this was a song about him meeting Abby and Jerry and David Peel and most of the more recognizable names of the time period from the Sometime in New York City album. This is John Lennon and Yoko Ono with the Elephant's Memory Band doing New York City.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message. It's not easy being a limp dick, I should know, because I've been right by the side of Dickless Cheney throughout these 8 years that we've stolen two elections. And I want to thank Reverend Booker for having a show theme of the McCain Penis Pity Party on next Sunday night, because it shows the kind of compassion we need for moralizing hypocrites and skanks who preach abstinence and morality and family values and Christian supremacy, and then cheat and lie and live hypocritical double standards and double lives. So we hope that McCain can get it up for Sarah Palin, and we hope that you support the Penis Pity Party next Sunday night on The Reverend Is In. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Looking bad, seemed like total silence was the only friend I had. Bowl of oatmeal tried to stare me down, and one, and it was 12 o'clock before I realized I was having no fun. Ah, but fortunately, I have the key to escape reality, and you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to check my bankroll. It was getting thin. Sometimes it seems like the bottom is the only place I've been. I chased a rainbow down a one-way street, dead end. And all my friends turned out to be insurance salesmen. Ah, but fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well, I sat down in my closet with all my overalls, trying to get away from all the ears inside my walls. I dreamed the police heard everything I thought. What then? Well, I went to court and the judge's name was Hoffman. Ah, but fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog bun. My sister's a nun.
Tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit.
This is a song for Matt Daly.
I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure-thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long-suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a good one. Sunday, August 31st, 2008, at RadioVolta.org, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. We have no runner-ups. We just have our special recipient, who is the head of, I'm not kidding, a Christian biker gang. That's right. Philip Aguilar is the biker president of Set Free Soldiers, who attacked their rivals in the Hells Angels, I'm not making this up, whom they've had long-standing tensions with, and several members, including their leader, Philip Aguilar, are charged with weapons charges, miscellaneous violence and assault charges, and charges of murder. Now, if you were in the Philadelphia area, here in beautiful, lovely Philly land, you know that there is, outside of women's clinics, some of these Christian bikers who found the way, who are total violent psychopaths, and much like this group. And this group, of course, they're out in the open now that they have been caught committing murder and other acts of violence against their rival gangs. So, Philip Aguilar of Set Free Soldiers, you are Asshole of the Week. We lost our fart sounds. And thank you, Mr. Z, who from prison found that article and wanted to contribute it to the show and said, see, I'm still helping. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Hoare. DOA did War. John Prine did Illegal Smile. The Damned did Smash It Up. Part 2. Jefferson Airplane did We Can Be Together, and Paul Kantner / the first version of Jefferson Starship, did Sunrise from the Blows Against the Empire release and started off with John Lennon, Yoko Ono, and the Elephant's Memory Band doing New York City. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago. That 1968, what the official Walker report called a police riot. And we are here tonight also, not just to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Yippies and Abby Hoffman and Paul Krasner and all that happened in Chicago and all of the songs and movies and things that have followed, but also to entertain the activist troops of today, of 2008, who were outside the political conventions, and to thank them, and especially to entertain those troops. Next week, we are going to continue to entertain those troops. We had to cut the Allen Ginsberg track that was too long. We have a track called The Ballad of the Skeletons that Allen Ginsberg recorded with Paul McCartney, Philip Glass, Lenny Kaye, and I believe some others. But we'll save that for next week. It's always fun to play that. Allen Ginsberg was definitely a key part of the picture, as was David Peel and others. But all of that will wait until next week, as will some brand new stuff. And next week, September 7th, is the McCain Penis Pity Party. This show, like all shows, should be archived in roughly a week at Radio For All, Radio Numeral 4all.net. Write to the Reverend at Rev Bookburn at sjcdc.org. And of course, there's always updates, details, links, goodies, and all playlists at reverendbookburn.com. All right, we're going to play a last song and get out of here. It is a song about Chicago and the Chicago trial and all of the efforts and people protesting in the streets outside the courthouse in solidarity with the defendants and the call for more people to go to Chicago. It's the live version by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young from the Four Way Street double live release. And the song, which went out to the fascist mayor of Chicago at the time, Mayor Richard Daley, is called Chicago. Good night.
This is a song for Matt Daley.
Won't you please come to Chicago? rain is falling on my head. Pretty soon I might be dead. The end is near, Lord, it's plain to see. I guess my country's made a fool of me. Mother finds it hard not to cry. A look of sadness on their face, trying hard not to show a trace. Last question before I go. One last answer I must know. Tomorrow morning I'll be alone. Can you tell me why I can't be home?